This is Selling It Like It Is. And now, here's your host, Stefan Levinsky.
And welcome to another episode of Selling It Like It Is. As always, I'm your host, Stefan Levinsky, and I'm very excited about today's guest. I've got a legitimate big shot with me today. Let me give you a little bit about his background. In terms of a speaker, certainly one of the speakers that I look up to and respect and learn from, 30 years in the business. Four bestsellers. I stick to writing titles only and never finishing them, so here's another example of where I look up to this guy. Four books completed, one of them recently a bestseller as determined by the Wall Street Journal for Business Books, and that's really what I want to focus on today. His clients are the big shots, ITT, Sheraton, Hewlett-Packard, American Suzuki Motor Corporation. These are just a few. He got on my radar in reading a book that I love the title of, If How-To's Were Enough, We'd All Be Skinny, Rich, and Happy. I think that is altogether true. But it's his recent book, The Compassionate Samurai, that outlines 10 traits of a samurai, and again, recently named number one Wall Street Journal business book that I want to talk about. Brian, thanks so much for joining me on Selling It Like It Is.
My pleasure, Stefan. Thanks for having me.
So my first question for you is, your book was a number one bestseller business book, but I've read it, and I'll be the first to say, well, I may be the last or one of many to say, that this really is a book about success in life and applies to much more than business, yes?
Absolutely. Compassionate Samurai, first of all, is a it's a great oxymoron. People hear it. I mean, one person on a flight to Australia said, "Compassionate, what do you kill him quickly? Is that what compassionate samurai means?" But it comes out of the idea that, at my experience as a kid, not everybody had this experience. My experience as a kid, then later on as a business person, many times people got out of balance. And what I mean by out of balance is they would be very compassionate, but sometimes when they're very compassionate, they were not top salespeople. They were not. They didn't have great marriages. They weren't big difference makers in the community, but they were nice, caring people. Or other people are real top salespeople, top producers in any, you know, sports, business, doesn't matter, but then often they get self-centered, greedy, non-ethical. And so what I train people in is to be a kick posterior producer, top producer, but their whole life is about service or contribution. And I find that you can be a top salesperson, do that. It's what it takes to have a great marriage. It's what it takes to make a difference in the community. But that's what we train people in. And as you mentioned, there's 10 different traits like honesty, abundance, personal responsibility, commitment that make up this, I'll call it mythical compassionate samurai, because I'm obviously not tackling the violent side of the samurai, but they're very ethical people. I mean, when you talk commitment, if they made a promise to die rather than break the promise, and can you imagine a contractor today that promises to be done a remodel job, and if they didn't do it on time, they committed seppuku? I mean, you know, it'd be nice if everybody in business did exactly what they promised. And in fact, when you do, you gain an incredible amount of referrals and contacts. So anyway, that's so it does. It applies to everything.
And tell me, what was the inspiration? What kind of entered your head that said, I'm going to write my next book about taking to the next level and being successful? And how did the samurai come to be the kind of the metaphor upon which you've written the book?
It evolved over time. I mean, I can remember back when I was, I'm 59, but when I was a teenager first starting to date, who dated the most beautiful looking women? And it would irritate me. A lot of times it was arrogant, immoral, whatever. I looked at who was, you know, later on, who's raking in the most cash in business? And sometimes it's the people like the Enrons or whatever. And so that's really what got under my skin. And then I got in the business of transformational work where I'm training leaders. And then I began to think about the compassionate samurai. I'm ex-military, and I did a game called the Samurai Game, which we are licensed distributors of, done by an ex-Vietnam vet named George Leonard. And it's that no violence in the game or anything, but it really causes a person to explore what really are the values that I'm living out of, and what happens when I have a situation that's very unclear, where I have like loyalty as a value up against my value of honesty, and it looks like, you know, which one's going to triumph. And anyway, it's a great game, And as I say, we do it in our seminars now. And so that started evolving the idea of the compassion in the samurai, because our mission statement for years has been a world that works for everybody with nobody left out. But now I had the warrior combined with the compassion, so I said, hey, let me write a book about it. And it seems to resonate. I mean, the last year, you know, I've spoken in Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Australia, all over the world. And no matter whether I go a third world country, modern country, no matter where I go, it resonates. I mean, I was with the president of the president's wife of Uganda, Janet Museveni, and you know, I told her, I mean, it's like, hey, look, you got people in government that are kind people. That's why they got into government, but they can't get anything done. You know, then you got other people in government that don't care about the people. They're unethical, and they can get stuff done. What I'll do for you is train your people so that they get stuff done and they're ethical. I mean, so as I say, it doesn't matter where in the world, everybody relates to it.
So one of the things that occurred to me as I'm reading this book is that I certainly, in my experience, have not met anybody that practices or certainly has mastered. I would say that a samurai has to master all of their different skills in order to be given that title of samurai. Otherwise, I guess it's samurai in training. I've yet to meet anybody that's mastered all 10. And as you may or not know, on Selling It Like It Is, I give my guests a little bit of a hard time, Brian. And I will. Now he's like, oh, great. Who booked me again? But I will tell you this. I did take issue with one. In fact, I'm going to let you guess. I'm going to let you guess in retrospect. There is an example of somebody that you wanted to use in high regard as an example in the book, who definitely is a extremely successful, uber qualified corporate titan. If I'm not mistaken, I don't have the book in front of me, but if I'm not mistaken, it was under the chapter for honesty.
Now, oh yeah. No, I don't know what you have issue with, but I'm sure it's referenced Jack Welch.
Yes,
and Jack Welch. I mean, I think, and then you can ask the question, but to me, he has in one of his books, he talks about honesty as a dirty little secret, is why people are not honest, and it's true. You go to most companies I've consulted with, they're not honest with each other, they're afraid of consequences, blah, 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 and he was, in many terms, a very successful executive. Now, do I buy into all the strategies? No, he had one strategy where it's, you know, rate your people a third, a third, a third, and always fire the bottom third. To me, that's lacking the compassion side.
Right.
He ended up divorcing his wife and blah, blah, blah. And
well, previous to divorcing his wife, of course, was being caught cheating on his wife. So he kind of fails
totally
the honesty.
That's totally opposite of compassion, samurai. So your thing on mastery, we're all imperfect human beings.
Exactly.
And what we want to be in on, I mean, 30 years after I've been exposed to, I got mentored by a person, he was killed back in 1983, but...
What was his name?
I hesitate to mention it because he, again, had some very controversial things. I owe everything I got. I mean, I wouldn't be married, I wouldn't be, I've given away millions of dollars to things I believe in, I wouldn't be traveling the world making the difference I do in prisons and wherever, if it wasn't for him. And just like Jack Welch, he had his own things, and I don't want people to get
And we all do. I mean, in fairness, right? I mean, I'll be the first to tell you that I don't think I've mastered, maybe I've got one out of your 10, I'm not even sure, but so to be fair, and that was really my point, is that the book sets such a high bar. I wonder how you go about teaching people that this is not just idealism, meaning, because, again, I've yet to meet one person who's mastered all 10, so I read this book and I think, my goodness, this is the kind of stuff that you're taught really well outlined with such this great metaphor of the samurai, but this is the stuff that, you know, good rabbis are teaching you, or your good pastors, ministers, and priests, and really talking about age-old principles of what makes up kind of the quintessential successful human being. How do you go about getting in today's world of pessimists and narcissists, and you're speaking to one right now, how can a tough case like me believe that I can start to achieve these and get some traction?
Okay, I'll go a couple different directions here with you. Number one, perfection is a cruel master. So I don't, because you're, in my mind, I haven't mastered any of these 10 traits. And I think once you think you've mastered something, that's a really dangerous place to be in. When you think you're a know-it-all, that's really the 10th trait is knowledge. Is knowledge meaning not being an expert as much as always having an open mind and seeking that once we think we know it all, we're in a death grip then. And so, perfection is something you pursue, but, it's not something that when you don't achieve it, you feel bad or whatever, because it's an endless pursuit. It's like the more better different game. You can always have more, and so if that's the master, you're going to be depressed.
Right.
That being said, basically, I'm a practical result freak. In our work in the corporate world, in many of our contracts, if we don't make bottom line change happen, we don't get paid. For direct salespeople that attend our work, we're the only company I'm aware of. They do a weekend with us. We measure the income before and after, publish it on our website by company, not by individual. We don't want to break confidentiality, but by company. So we look like fools if people don't produce. So I'm a result freak. Now, here's what happens. What I work with people on is, tell me what you want to make happen. You want to make more money? Great. I'll help you make more money. But in the process of helping make more money, people open up to other things, and that's really where I'll start grabbing them on the advantages of honesty or personal responsibility or commitment or whatever, because, you know, you want a better marriage. It's the same thing. Fine, I'll help you get what you want. But in the process of helping you get what you let me use one analogy and see if this makes sense to you. When I go do corporate training, quite frankly, when I'm doing down to the welders or the receptionists or down the food chain of authority, if you will, they don't want to be in the training most times. They've experienced bad training. It's been a waste of time. They don't want to be taught. They already think they know everything. They don't want to be there. So basically what I do is I'll say, hey, look, Christie Medical Clinic is paying me to reduce overhead 4%, reduce patient complaints 10%. That's what I'm being paid to do. Now forget that. And they go, what? I say, forget it. Why? Because if I don't make that happen, I don't get paid. And believe me, I like being paid, so I'll worry about that. What I want to know from you is, what do you want? And a lot of times that's they kind of skirt around the issue, and it takes me a while. What do you mean? Well, hey, what do you want? You want to go home at the end of the day and not take any work home with you? And when they get that I'm serious about helping them with what they want, now they're willing to play my little games. And let me give you an example, and I'll show you the direction this goes. I believe that 99% of your behavior, my behavior, everybody's behavior is run by belief systems in the subconscious. If you think of the model of a human being, don't get hung up on my words because I speak all around the world, different cultures have different words, but if we have three levels to us, like a snowman, the top part is the smallest, called the head or the conscious mind, the middle part is the subconscious or the heart, and the bottom is infinite, whatever you want to call that, I call it God. So our beliefs, there's an old line, is a man or woman thinking it's in their heart, so are they. It's what's in your heart that's going to make most of your decisions, not what's in your head. Everybody listening to this knows how to lose weight, eat less, work out more. But most of them have something in their heart, a belief, that prevents them from taking the behavior they know to do. Most people know how to save. Most people know how to stay within a budget. Go on and on. That's why the first book of How To's Were Enough Would All Be Skinny and Rich and Happy. You got to change. Now, beliefs are like this. Beliefs are like a pair of dark green sunglasses. If I'm 59, if I came out of my mother's womb 59 years ago wearing dark green sunglasses, ridiculous sight, and I'm not trying to make it more painful on the women that are listening to the call, right? It's an analogy. Cut me some slack, right? But I come out with these dark green sunglasses on day one, and here's a key thing. This one's very important. I've never, for one second, had them off in my 59 years. So I golf with them, I work with them, I make my sales calls, whatever. I've never had them off. Now, if I'm looking at a piece of white paper, I'm going to say it's green, and I'm convinced of it, and I believe I'm right about it. And then you come along as the wisest person in the world, you like this role, and you care about me, and you try and help me out. You say, Brian, the paper's white. I'm just going to argue with you, tell you what you're talking about, better go get your eyes checked. You can try and motivate me. I'm still going to maintain it's green. You can call me up every day. I mean, you live in Texas. I live in Napa Valley, California. You call me up every day for a year. You're persistent, and you tell me it's white. I'm still going to maintain that it's green. In fact, I can even want to see it as white. That changes nothing. I'm still seeing it as green. Now, and this is what's going on with people. They got belief systems or sunglasses around abundance, trust, honesty, commitment. It doesn't matter what somebody tells them. They're going to operate based on those beliefs. Now, if I discover there's something called sunglasses, and for some reason I go looking for them, and my hand bumps into it and lifts them off a little bit, all of a sudden, in a second, and this should give the listeners hope, in a second, I have a revelation. All of a sudden, something is revealed to me, white, that I couldn't see a second before, even if I'd wanted to. So if people are serious about change, which is what I get paid for, bottom line change in a person's personal life, in our public seminars, or business in the corporate world, the most dramatic change can be caused by revelations of our belief systems. But that only happens in my experience. I mean, hey, if I knew other ways, I'd tell you. Books sometimes do it, but most times don't. Books, tapes, CDs, they tend to go to the conscious mind, the head. And then we have information in there, but it doesn't become transformation. You have to have an interactive emotional experience that causes that revelation. And basically, what I do in the corporate world is I'll get people to go exploring. They want something like, man, I don't want to take any work home with me so I can have a better time at home. Fine. I start working with them on what's the sunglasses in a games interactive way, and with this preventing them from making that happen, the very phenomenal thing is 8 out of 10 times, not always, 8 out of 10 times it's the same set of sunglasses that prevents the company from making the bottom line profit change they want to make. And so that way the company wins, the individuals win, and it's a fun game to play. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I want to remind my listeners that something that I know to be the case, and that is Brian is the only speaker, consultant, and company that I've ever heard that puts the chips on the line like that publicly and literally gets paid only if the predetermined results that they established are met. Every other speaker in the world will tell you that, look, I get paid for my intellectual property, I get paid to kind of give a message, give a speech, get the words out there. I'm not really in control of what people do with those words, and so yeah. I certainly can't be held accountable.
That's their sunglasses around responsibility, and we could do a whole training on that. But most people tie responsibility, their sunglasses, they're wired, that their responsibility is somehow tied to fault blame, and so then they don't want to accept responsibility for anything, much less everything. So, yeah, that's a great three-hour training, which I don't want to dive into here, but that's, yeah, you got it. That's why most people won't do it. Well, my job is just to impart the information, and what they do with it's their problem. That's a good one.
Well, and you know what? Listen, I don't know that I would, have the chutzpah to do what you do and to put it on the line like that. And frankly, maybe I got to take my sunglasses off. But, at the same time, I'm not a motivational speaker. And I think maybe that's part of the fact that you wake people up and you awake them to the potential that's within them. And then give them, I think, some really tactical. Your experience having graduated West Point, I think, has served you well, because I think you understand the concept of learning ideas, but turning ideas into practice, into tactical application. I want to remind my listeners, We Would All Be Skinny, Rich, and Happy is a book that you should read as well. When Good Intentions Run Smack Into Reality is another one of my favorites. I think you can get all of his books on his website. Why don't you tell us a little bit about not only your website, but I think you've been very generous for anybody that's made it through and listened to this whole program. You have something for them.
Two things. If they go to our website, which is klemmer.com, my last name, klemmer.com, there's a free offer there. They can get 52 leadership lessons, one a week, in text, and in about 30 days it'll also come out in video form, thanks to your help, Stefan. So they can get those for free. So that's a great way to get some reinforcement weekly. Doesn't cost you a dime. If you want to invest in yourself and spend a little money, the deal that I put on the table is the book Compassionate Samurai, which is $25 in Amazon bookstores, whatever, for the hardback. I have a DVD that I did separate from, it's like a companion product to the book. I go 10, 15 minutes on each chapter, but it's not necessarily the same stories in the book, so it's a great add-on. Plus, some people don't like to read. That's usually $39, whatever. Do you have how-to book, another 15? And then I have a CD that's how to solve problems when you have no idea what to do, which is very pertinent to today's economy, where people are being tasked to solve problems and they have less, which, by the way, the problem with that is when you don't know what to do, it's just your conscious mind, the top part of that snowman, that doesn't know what to do. Your subconscious does know what to do, and whatever you want to call infinite knows what to do. So the skill is, how do I concretely tap the second, third level to solve a problem, whether it's lose weight, make more sales, whatever. And so anyway, I have a whole CD on that goes through that process. It's also included in the how-to book. Which, anyway, you add the whole thing up, it's just under $100 worth of value. We're making it available at $49, half price. You can't beat it. And what you have to do is when you go to Clemmer.com, go to our bookstore, our product section, and type in the code, promo code. It'll be obvious there, Samurai, S-A-M-U-R-A-I, Samurai. And then what I'm going to do, which is, this is just spur of the moment, I'll have to actually change the offer that's on there. The offer on there right now has all $100 worth of product plus for $49. But what I'm going to do is throw in two live workshop tickets. We do workshops around the country probably 10 times a month, three-hour workshops. They're $59. I'll throw in two tickets with that. So you're getting over $200 worth of value for $49. So
incredible. I can't thank you enough. That's really, really nice of you. So, again, go to Clemmer.com, ladies and gentlemen, Clemmer.com. Enter promo code SAMURAI. Go get the book. Well, obviously, that's how you're going to get the book. So and recommend it to your friends and family. I just want to remind, I've got mostly salespeople listening, closing gifts. There is no greater closing gift than a book that you inscribe. They keep it, they learn, they grow, and then whatever growth they have, they appreciate and remember you so much better than a bottle of wine or a gift certificate or anything like that. So I want to remind you that don't just shop for yourselves. Buy 5, 6, 7 of these for your clients and customers and thank them for your business. I want to thank my guest, author, speaker, and extraordinary results getter, Brian Clemmer. Thank you so much for being on Selling It Like It Is with me today.
Thanks, Stefan. Appreciate the publicity. It's appreciated.
Of course. And as always, this is Stefan Lubinsky, your host here on Selling It Like It Is, reminding you folks, it's not what you learn, it's what you do with it. Tune in next week or month or whenever it is. I get off my butt and produce another one of these shows. Take care.
You've been listening to Selling It Like It Is. For more information about Stefan Lubinsky or to subscribe to this podcast, visit smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.